While the United States implements draconian new national security measures, most Canadians watch with disdain. Racial profiling, secret detentions, and erosions of privacy have become routine south of the border. Here in Canada, we like to think that things are different. But Canada is quietly falling in line with some aspects of the U.S. security state, even as it resists others. For the next 2 weeks, communities across Canada will come together in a series of symposiums entitled Measuring Security Measures, a Close Look at Immigration, Media, and Law in a Secure Canada. Zul Suleiman is an immigration lawyer and activist. He's also the coordinator of the Maru Society, one of the organizations that are hosting the Measuring Security Measures Symposium in Vancouver. And he's joined me this morning in the studio. Good morning, Zul.
Good morning.
Now, how has the meaning of national security changed in Canada in recent years?
Well, I think there's a creeping definition. You know, it's a moving target. It used to be that our notion of national security would be time limited, would be focused, would end at some point. But what we find in ourselves now in is a war against terror, which is not properly defined. There's no time limit to it. And so what's occurring is any kind of threat is getting thrown into that box of a security measure, and it needs to be taken care of right away. So on several fronts, there are erosions occurring, whether it's on the privacy side, the racial profiling side, the targeting of migrants. In all of those senses, the term is starting to lose meaning.
What kind of policies have been implemented since September 11th, 2001, in Canada under that security kind of rubric?
Well, there's the Anti-Terrorism Act, which was passed soon after 9/11, which allowed the government a variety of increased measures to arrest, to detain, question, to engage in watching information flows as they occur. Since then, we've gone on. We have scenarios. I think they call it the smart border policy, which doesn't feel very smart, but it has to do with integrating Canada and U.S. Border controls. We have the no-fly list. Just this week, the government is now arguing that we need to tap internet communication, phone communication, so that we fall in line with other countries. So what's starting to happen is our ability as a country, as a citizenry, to decide what works for us is being taken off the table. And what's occurring is the government is saying that if we are to continue to keep the United States happy, or Britain happy, or international organizations happy, we have to give away our privacy rights and our democratic rights.
Is it the threat over the border being closed that is leading these kind of measures?
That's clearly the tail that's wagging the dog. I mean, what's occurring is when you look at the amount of trade we have under the North American Free Trade Agreement with the United States of America, the threat of that border being shut down has become a huge issue for the government. Now, that raises other concerns. Why did we agree to this trade deal? But that was a battle fought and lost and maybe fought again. But with regard to our ability to then decide what we do as a country, it's the economics that are trumping the other principles that we have. I fear that with the smart border policy that's being discussed more and more, that we're going to start to head towards, the euphemism is harmonization. But in real terms, what it means is that we will make our policies fall into line with American policies.
Now, I remember a discussion a couple of years ago about biometrics in passports. Now, where is that? What is biometrics, for starters?
I used to think that biometrics meant photos. But in fact, biometrics is all about mathematical algorithms of points between, say, the tip of your nose and the right edge of your eyelid and the top of your forehead. And it comes into some complex mathematical formula. And everyone has one. Which is why, for instance, when you get Canadian passport photos taken, you can't smile. And people say, why can't you smile? Well, it has to do with the curvature of your lips, and it changes your algorithm.
That's so interesting, because I had no idea. I thought the whole non-smiling thing was... Yeah, I know.
No, so it actually has to do with algorithms. And so what happens is that Canada is now being pushed to make sure that we have machine-readable passports, we have photos that can be scanned and that a number can be projected for you, and everyone has a unique number. And so what's occurring is International Civil Aviation Authority, all sorts of these monitoring organizations, standard-setting organizations, are pushing us towards setting up these kinds of biometric cards. Now, in Canada, the two immigration ministers ago, the minister floated the idea of a biometric card, an ID card. Well, there was a big howl of protest. That idea is now being floated again. I assure you it'll continue to come back again and again until something like a biometric ID card is implemented.
So people who say, don't worry about it, it's dead, do they need to...
No, I would
have
worry
a heads
about
up
it.
About that.
There are discussions going on in the halls of power. There are discussions going on in all sorts of places where the movement of people is a big factor, and they seem to think that this is the panacea. But I have serious concerns about then the data gathering and where it goes.
Are Canadian economic policies also comprising civil liberties?
I think so. I mean, certainly NAFTA is one example of where we find that the obligations we have under NAFTA and also the tremendous amount of trade that goes back and forth are now compromising our ability to say, no, we want to stand up. So now you start to see in the last 2-3 weeks, Canada starting to have a pro-China trade policy. Well, what is that about? Is it about trying to realign ourselves, or are we again sending a message to the Americans that this is our version of pushing back? But certainly, the economics seem to be driving most things these days.
And I guess also we can think of the privatization of the systems of management of, for example, medical services plan going to the United States, and then the kind of security measures we're subject to there.
Well, one of the comments I wanted to make is that we're always told by the Canadian government that don't worry about the people who watch us, because we have safeguards to watch them. Then in the last 3 to 4 weeks, I read that the Security Intelligence Review Committee, the person involved with that, is saying that CSIS is hiding data from her. 2 weeks ago, I read that the lawyer who has all the appropriate security clearances is saying, and her job is to look after the RCMP, the RCMP is hiding data from her. Yesterday, I read that a police officer, for personal use, goes in Ontario and looks at the Canada-wide database for criminal arrests, and it's called CPIC. Supposedly, the watchers are being watched. When the watchers are being watched, they don't like it. The kinds of safeguards that we have are inadequate, and yet the government wants to continue to pass new legislation, and whenever concerns are raised by the listenership and other people out there, the defense the government gives is, don't worry, there are measures to watch the watchers. Well, the watchers don't like being watched.
And they're taking measures to stop being watched.
Exactly. I mean, 2 weeks ago I read a story where the government tendered a contract, and a part of that contract was that the third party that was going to provide the service could not keep a record of it. So the idea would be that there would be nothing written, nothing put down, nothing given to the government other than perhaps the final report, so there'd be no trail. So if you can't, in an administrative state, have a record of how people are making decisions and their thinking processes, how do you review it? How do you monitor it? These are very, very troubling signs.
Now, when you speak on this topic, you often mention the concept of psychological self-internment that has come as a result of these security policies. Can you explain that term
to
me?
Well, I think it echoes what your previous speakers have been saying, and I must tell you, this is an amazing show you put together today, so thank you to all of you for the hard work on it. What I've been noticing in the work I do as an immigration lawyer or a refugee lawyer is an increasing number of people are starting to call me and say, you know, I'm not getting my visa, or I've been granted permanent resident status, but I'm not getting citizenship, or I'm not getting granted permanent resident status, or I think I'm being watched at work. And so what's occurring, and there's merit to many of those phone calls, by the way, but what I'm finding is that certainly targeted communities, predominantly Muslim, predominantly male, predominantly Middle Eastern looking, for lack of a better term, find themselves censoring themselves in participating in the society that we're in. So they worry, should I go to this website? Should I attend this demonstration? Should I be attending the local mosque? Can I go to this particular rights organization's meetings? am I going to be hanging out or perceived to be hanging out with the wrong people? And I've had many, many people come up to me and say, you know, I don't go to America anymore. I don't go to Europe anymore. I don't hang out with the people I used to hang out with. There are these series of coded assumptions and discussions that go on within affected communities that don't make it outside those communities.
Yes, completely invisible to people who are not suffering those kind of infringements, which is, I think, the scary thing about it.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the projects I'm involved with is StopRacialProfiling.ca. And, you know, Anne McClelland keeps saying that racial profiling is a firing offense, you know, and I don't know what that means. You know, first of all, how would a complaint be launched? How would you define it? What's the process by which, if an officer acted improperly, they would be disciplined? How would people know about it? Is there an ombudsperson? Who decides who gets fired? So for the minister to glibly go out there and say it's a firing offense actually stops discussion. It's an inhibitor. It's not an opening to actually talk about the profiling that goes on.
To what extent have these security measures affected the thinking of Canadians who are not the targets themselves but are... Well, not the targets.
I think it's a good question. You know, there's always people who are targeted and then what we call the allies. And what's the role of the allies? And I think that progressive thinking people, people who are interested in an active and vibrant democratic country, really need to wake up. I think they really need to realize that this is not some conspiracy theory. This is not something that's intellectual. It feels to me that there's kind of a creeping shutting down of many of the safeguards that we have in our society. And, you know, it's one of those, the frog in the water kind of analogy. The temperature goes up slowly and the frog thinks, boy, this is nice. But, of course, the temperature becomes uncomfortable and the next thing you know, you're cooked.
Yes, so the frog doesn't jump out, right?
So the temperature is rising and I think people need to realize this is not a good thing. And, you know, sometimes it's really easy to say, well, I'm not affected. This is not my issue. But, you know, all issues are interconnected. You know, if they're going to target the Muslim community or the Middle Eastern community or the South Asian community, who are they going to target next? And the they are us. I mean, we are the they, and we have to speak loudly to say this is not acceptable. One thing I must say is that the privacy commissioners across the country, the BC Civil Liberties Association, other progressive groups are speaking. And I think these are the few things that are making the government think twice.
So that those are successful routes to try and get those concerns addressed?
Well, I think so. I mean, I'm not just those, but many organizations, you know, Co-op Radio, a show like this, any means by which the government can actually hear, the decision makers can hear, they're out there. They're listening for public sentiment. And if there's a sense that, look, privacy rights cannot be trumped, people cannot be targeted, profiling is not acceptable. If these messages get out loud and clear, they will at least modulate the behavior of the lawmakers.
The event that I mentioned is part of a cross-Canada series of events that are happening in a number of cities across the country. I was having a look at your website this morning. Measuring Security Measures Symposium. What do you hope will be the outcome of that event?
Well, actually, what I'm hoping is the very kinds of issues we've discussed will continue to be discussed there. And what I'm encouraging people to do is to come out to the event. It's free. And there are films that are going to be shown first, and then there's a panel, and that we can engage in this kind of robust discussion.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Let me just ask you, which would be the best website for me to point people towards if they're listening? Because we do our broadcast across Canada.
Right.
And
I would just go to the www.citizen.nfb.ca. And the Vancouver event is at the Vancouver International Film Centre at 7 p.m. on October 27th. So please be there. I think it promises to be an amazing evening.
Thanks very much, Zul.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Zul Suleiman. He's an immigration attorney, activist, and coordinator of the Maru Society. And as Zul just said, the Measuring Security Measures Symposium will be held in Vancouver on October 27th at 7 p.m. at the Vancouver International Film Center at 1181 Seymour Street. And if you're listening in another part of Canada, then you can go to citizen.nfb, NFB like National Film Board, citizen.nfb.ca, and you can find out where the event is happening in your city.